Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guests, Supercellular creator Gabriel Gogobachi and Jill Gatsby.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And musical guest Skip Heller. I am Mark Legere, and now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Isn't social media great? Okay, I'm being a little sarcastic, but actually it can be used for the goods. And that's part of what we're going to be talking today about is how we could use things that for the good that aren't always necessarily used for the good, like social media. So I've been excited about this show ever since Jill Gatsby contacted me on LinkedIn to tell me about what she's up to with her son, Gabriel Gogobachi. And I've been so excited about it. After we booked the show, I've been telling everybody about it, and I've been getting a little teary-eyed and excited because it's a cool, great thing. It's something that I can't wait for us to talk about. So the interesting thing is I was backstage at a live event this weekend or last week in Vegas, and I was sharing about this, and I got teary-eyed, and somebody else got teary-eyed, and a couple of people backstage got teary-eyed just before their show. And then I was at a wedding and I told this story, and they got teary-eyed, I got teary-eyed, I was at the Apple store getting my computer looked at, and I was telling the guy, I'm like, you're really helping, so grateful because this show on Monday, I don't know how I would have done it without this computer. And he says, what's the show? And I told him what we're doing, and I got teary-eyed and he got teary-eyed. You get the picture. So, it's been exciting because I've gotten to share something that I know, we know here at Life Changes, and Dorothy knows because she talks about this in her energetic alchemy workshops, but she's also been sharing stories on how she got better and how she healed herself, and she used some of the same techniques. So I've been excited about it. So it's interesting that here I've been telling everybody that our body is listening. So it was a great story to be able to share. Our body is listening. Our body is listening. Our body is listening to every word we say and everything we're thinking about. And so I was driving back from Vegas. And I remember on the way to Vegas, my hands on the steering wheel got tired. I live in Los Angeles, so it took about 5 hours to get there. And my hands got tired, and I thought, you know what would make this better is if one of those things that you put around the steering wheel that makes it thicker, because my steering wheel is just too thin. Anyway, on the way back, I was thinking, yeah, one of those things would be better because this steering wheel's too thin. I don't know why it never bothered me before, but it bothers me now. I'd love one of those things that goes around the steering wheel so that the steering wheel could be bigger. And then that was the thought. And I completely forgot about it. Then on Saturday, I was waiting, I guess, for my computer to get serviced. And I was walking around a store that I don't walk around. And then this little kid was approaching me and her dad and all that. So I made a left into an aisle to kind of avoid them and let them go by with the stroller and all that stuff. And there I am in this aisle. And I'm walking through it. And there's this counter or this section where there's looked like a bunch of things thrown around, and I looked at it and I walked away, and then I went, no way. And I looked back, and it was like this clearance section, and there was all this stuff thrown around in there, and there was one of those things, just one, that goes around your steering wheel and makes it thicker. Just one. And it was the color I would want. And it had an axe color accent that matched the color of my car. And I'm thinking, really? And it wasn't just there. It was like the only one there. I'm like, does the store even sell these? And it was on sale. I'm like, really? So I bought it. And of course, it fit on my steering wheel. And it was perfect for my car. And I thought, wait a minute. Our body isn't the only thing listening to everything we think and everything we say. There's like a universal Alexa listening all the time. And if this isn't proof, I don't know what is. So here I was saying, our body's listening. Well, we're being heard. What is it that we're saying? And so I can't wait to talk about what we're going to be talking about today, the world's smallest superheroes. And you'll love the kind of superheroes we're talking about because you have them, you're made up of them. And here we go on our Life Changes show with Gabriel Gacabucci and Jill Gatsby and our musical guest, Skip Heller, all on the Life Changes show after this.
You are listening to the Life Changes show, recorded live from Studio NoHo. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sierra Campbell, and Alan Roderick Jones, on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. You can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo sitting here with Mark, and he's trying to tell me how to pronounce this kid's name. I know how to pronounce it.
Gogobachi.
Gogobachi.
Okay, so Mark, I know you know what I'm talking about.
I do. I can't wait for tonight's show. There's so much wisdom in the room and so much excitement and enthusiasm and big smiles. But it's such an important topic. We talk about awareness. And, you know, when I started learning, you know, I look at science and I was intrigued when I learned that a chair is aware of its relationship to the floor or that type of awareness that's there. Right. And that's what we're going to talk about, is how our cells know and how, as you said, everything's listening. So excited. Show tonight.
Yeah, and we're listening. As a matter of fact, I'm so glad that Gabriel's mother was listening, and obviously he was born to the right mom, or picked the right mom to be born with too, because she said something to him when he was just 2.5 years old. She probably said a lot of wonderful things to him up until that, but from that point, she heard what he had to say, and some wonderful things have happened since. So without further ado, he's now 12 years old, and he's the creator of Supercellular Guided Imagery for Kids. And he is Gabriel Gacabucci, and his mom, Jill Gatsby, amongst other things, is the founder of the Supercellular Music, Science, and Arts Program. We welcome to the show Gabriel Gacabucci and Jill Gatsby. Great to have you both with us.
It's really great to be here.
Why are you?
Hi.
Hi. It's I know we're all excited. This is great. And by the way, happy birthday. You just recently had a birthday, Gabriel.
Yes, February 13th.
February 13th. Happy birthday. Well, so not very long ago, actually maybe a little over 10 years, you were 2.5-ish.
Yes.
And you were in a park, like, to play as a kid.
Yeah, it was fun.
It was fun. Okay, good. At some point, your mom was telling me that you saw a little boy. Was he in a wheelchair or something? What was going on?
No, he was a little boy, and I was really scared of him, to be quite honest. And it was not. It was something that I didn't want to see happen to anyone else. So I asked my mom, "What's wrong with this little boy?" And what she replied with was, "I think he's sick, and I think you should go talk to him." So I went up to him, and I ran over, and I was like, "Hi there, kid. It's me, Gabe."
I'm sure that put a smile on his face.
But then he told me that, I asked him why he was sick and what happened to him, and he told me there were bad cells and good cells, and it was like a war inside of his body, and he was scared. So I wanted to help him. I went home, and when I got home, I threw my toy Spider-Man across the room, hitting the wall and breaking his head off. But I got so mad. I was like, "Marvel, are you kidding me? Oh no, bad." I was so mad. I was so pissed. I was like, jeez, man, I was really mad. But
you were why were you taking it out on Marvel?
Because I was a kid and I relied on Marvel to like help me out. It was cute.
Until
I heard they didn't have a superhero that would help kids heal who have cancer and diseases and little tiny superheroes that help you like that. I got pissed at them. I was like, yo, I'm reporting you. You need to help kids with cancer. You can't do that.
Because the superheroes were out doing other things, but they weren't helping kids.
The superheroes were out saving imaginary monsters and not doing anything important. But the real important thing is saving the kids. The kids are the future of us. They're the future of the world. They're the future. They're the new generation of kids who are coming in, and they're going to be great people. And I hope they're going to be great people. Yeah.
Right. And they need to be healthy, obviously.
They obviously need to be healthy. Okay, let's stick to the facts, people.
Yeah, people. Tell them, Gabriel. Spider-Man?
Yeah, it was Spider-Man.
So Spider-Man's head came off. Yeah. And I mean, you're like, heads have got to roll.
Yes.
Right. Okay. And so what did you dream it up, or did you decide it that when did this supercellular?
Well, I was like, you know what? We need supercells. And my mom was like, oh my gosh, Gabe. Oh my gosh. You are a genius. Oh, you
I did. I said he was a genius. When he said that, I went, oh my. A 2.5-year-old said, we need to have a healing superhero. That's what he said.
I was like, oh my God. Wow. So then at 2.5, my mom was like, get over here, child. Put me on her lap. Showed me the app called Photoshop and was like, chop, chop. Let's get to work.
I can't wait for the movie.
This is a movie. I wish we were on video because I love your expressions.
Okay. And actually, there are lots of videos that we can watch, and we'll talk about that in a moment because people could see you on the videos. But you got mom crying over there, and you almost got me going. So, okay. So chop, chop. Let's get to work. What happened then?
I was like, all right, people, no more messing around. We're getting out of here. Let's do it. We're going to West Seattle. We're going to send this all over the world. And I don't know why I just said that, but we're going to send this all over the world. I was like,
maybe there's a kid in West Seattle. I don't know why you picked West Seattle, but if you're listening out there, you know, there's healing to happen in West Seattle.
Apparently.
Apparently.
Well, yeah. So I was like, okay, let's do this, people. I'm pumped. And yeah, I grew giant muscles. I got giant arms and I was like, okay, time to type. So I was typing a bunch of cool stuff. Then I started editing this little superhero. And Supercellular, he's not what he used to be. He's a lot different. I mean, the evolution of Supercellular is like, I don't know. Let's see. 500,000 feet long, but I'm just gonna say that what happened is he started off as a little white pill with a cape that said S on it, and he had two little dot eyes, and he had a magic wand, I think.
Okay, so you started with the image of a pill, which is something that people take, so that's something external that they take from the outside and they put in that somebody else created. And interesting, when we come back, we're going to talk about how you evolved that into something that's already inside of us and that we are made of. As a matter of fact, we're made of billions and billions. How like you said, we're like millions of feet long, or how long? Whatever.
A strand of hair has like... Huh, let's see. Hold on. Let me do the math. Get out the calculator, people. Okay, so I'm going to say that one strand of hair has like 5 billion cells on it, at least. That's the length of it. I'm not sure, but this is just my guess, and I'm pretty sure I've gotten close to where that is.
Actually, your mom knows some of the math we'll be talking about in a little bit when it comes to healing and all that. But we're going to be talking about guided imagery and how supercellular evolved. More with Gabriel Gagabachi and Jill Gatsby. Well, you know, Mom, Gogabachi. You said Gaga, like call him Gagabachi, like Lady Gaga from now on.
Yeah,
and
he's
it's
gonna
stuck
be Gaga.
In my head.
Hey, he's Gagabachi.
Hey, it's Gokobachi.
Thank you, Gabriel.
Like the Go-Go's.
And a little later on, our musical guest, Skip Heller, all on the Life Changing Show after this.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, "I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up." A second grader named Chandler said, "I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life." And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, "This is a great story. Bravo, Shadow." The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, recorded live from Studio NoHo. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Dan Millman, The Green Children, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and, of course, our guests, Gabriel Gokobachi and Jill Gatsby. So we were talking about a supercellular who's a superhero, actually the world's smallest superhero, which actually started out as like a little pill image. And then how did it become one of our cells?
Well, the pill was just an idea, but the pill launched off and became an actual cell in your body. It started from a pill and then morphed itself into an amazing part of your body today. And we all have supercells inside of us, don't we? We've got the T cells. We've got our amazing, awesome cells. That's not a thing, but I like to call them awesome cells. And we have red blood cells. We have white cells. We have all these amazing cells. We have entire galaxies in our body, basically.
Nice.
And why I'm saying that this is like the evolution of supercellular is because supercellular turned from a pill into something that is in our body, and it will stay there forever. And there are superheroes inside of us right now. And if you think it's just a comic, people out there, it's not just a comic. It's not just a game. This is true. There are superheroes inside of you right now.
Working all the time.
Yeah, they're working 24/7. One of them dies, the other one comes back to life. And dies, back to life.
And so we wanna help them, right?
We definitely want to help them.
Yeah.
We definitely want to help. Like, me and my mom need to be able to create more things to help supercellular prosper and get this word and all this amazing things out into the world so it can actually like help people with healing.
So like I was saying at the beginning of the show, when I was saying our body's listening to us and, you know, our consciousness is listening to us.
Completely
so our cells are listening to us. So if somebody said, oh, they felt so bad and they think they're going to feel worse, what's probably going to happen?
I think their cells are going to go on strike.
and maybe help them feel worse.
Yeah.
Which works against them. So you're saying something as simple, and then we'll get into some of the other things that you're doing, but something as simple as helping our cells know that we care about them and we think they're super, and mm-hmm. keeping a consciousness of our cells are on it, keeping us healthy when we're healthy. But then when people get sick, then it's even more important. So you've created what, like guided visualization would you create?
Created an amazing thing, and it was already out there, but we've formed it into something amazing. It's called guided imagery.
Guided imagery.
And guided imagery is basically sort of images that we want to take, and we have a narrator, me. I'm going to be talking to people on videos, and then I want to try to help them put images into their brain and make them tell their cells directly to go to this area. So let's say I get a splinter. Ouch. Yeah. Splinter hurts really bad. Well, I use guided imagery. I say, okay, let's go. Mind control. Okay, yeah, not really. But you want to do... Why not? Why not? Yeah. You want to do the thing, and you want to just closely hear the words that I'm saying. And you can do this to yourself, too. But you want to make the cells in your body. You don't want to make them. You want to let them, and you want to basically become friends with them and allow them to go to your wound and help you. They will slowly heal the wound, but it will go even faster if you allow yourself to let yourself heal.
Nice. Now, there's an actual science behind this. And Mom, Jill Gatsby, you were talking about this earlier, how guided imagery actually helps. So you said there were like 75 global studies and a dozen what?
Peer review journals. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. When I got into this for him.
Crazy good.
It's crazy wonderful. Before this ever happened to him, I had a friend named Kelly Gallagher, and she had Hodgkin's.
Well, what do you mean happened to him? Before the idea came
before the
to
idea,
him?
Oh, okay. Yeah, the whole okay. idea of supercellular.
Okay.
I had a friend who had cancer, Hodgkin's, and she would literally go see this woman, Gloria Lourdes-Lannis, who I call the white wizard. She really is like she really is Gandalf. She's the female Gandalf, this woman. And Cedars sent her to Gloria.
And Cedars is a hospital.
Cedars Sinai Hospital.
Uh-huh.
And they would send her to Gloria. She'd go in. She'd go under clinical hypnosis, which is guided imagery.
Okay.
Guided imagery is really, in fact, clinical hypnosis. And it's clinically hypnotizing your brain to reframe the way your brain looks at things. And she would take her into a hypnosis trip and tell her to raise her white blood cell count. Because for what she needed more white blood cells, not less. And then she would I would drive her to Cedars and they would do a blood test and they'd go, how did you do that? And they couldn't believe how the count was so high. Wow. How did you do that? And so to me, that was the proof that it worked. And I was a smoker. And so I went to Gloria and she hypnotized me. It took 2.5 hours and I never smoked again. And I sent like all my friends to her.
Wow.
And that's when I said, oh my God, this stuff works. And I started going to her as a patient. So when he years later says supercellular, and I just went, oh my God, he's a genius, because here it was, the cell inside, and now we could take people on a journey inside themselves to heal themselves from the inside out, which was everything Gloria had talked about, but now we could do it for kids. And I thought, my God.
Because it's not really being done.
They have guided imagery out there, but it's a much smaller market for children. New Horizons is a company that puts out a lot of guided imagery now, but I have to say that I think they got it because we were doing it, and then suddenly New Horizons popped up in the past 2 years.
Okay.
So they have some funding. So they put out a lot of guided imagery. They have some, but it's not like this.
It's kind of like from an adult perspective, maybe.
Yes.
And this is coming more from...
It's all grown-ups doing the voiceovers. And uh-huh. My goal is to get kids so that kids can relate to hearing that cartoon
voice.
Well,
you just gave them another idea.
And if I may speak...
Yes, you may, of course.
Well, after we started to finally get supercellular out there, I saw a video game for VR, and it was this little character that goes in and shoots the little bad brain cells. So I was like... Oh no. Oh no. We got to get working on this fast. Okay, people, before they take our idea, we got to go. So I started running and we got this thing going, and I just wanted to put that little remark in there. So
okay. Well, thank you. And you do it all in a positive way, and let's get into that. But before we do, I wanted a couple more statistics. So with the peer review and all that, you were saying people get heal how much faster?
According to these peer-reviewed journals, mm-hmm. if you go look this up, and if you go to the website, supercellular.org, you can go to the guided imagery site, and then you can click on different studies. But these peer-reviewed journals say that if I take this kid and then I take his friend, and they both have diabetes, or they both have cancer, and they both have to go through a procedure. The studies show that the kid that's doing the guided imagery, the kid that's getting that clinical hypnosis basically and working that program, they're going to heal up to 50% faster.
Wow.
And that's insane. That is an insane markup, especially when you're dealing with cancer. Now, with cancer, they said that it is incredibly powerful. And if it's so powerful, UCLA has a mindfulness wing. It's so powerful that Cedars-Sinai has MP3 files, like 300 of them, made by PhD doctors for free that everybody can use. The problem is people don't know that it's out there. Even the people in the hospital don't even know it's on their own site.
Yeah.
But Harvard has about 50 of these guided imageries. All the guided imagery that's for free that's at the hospitals is all for grown-ups. None of it is for kids. And we're trying to get into the hospitals to get it in there for kids. We did a thing with the City of Hope Children's Hospital. They did a story on us and they loved it. And the head of their gene research said this was important, but we didn't get funding from them. So in the end, it's me and this little kid who've been funding this for 8 years.
Yeah, more power to you. And here we are. Gabriel, what you say is that you could turn, like you're not just trying to kill the cells. I mean, sometimes you use that terminology.
No. But we don't want to kill the cells. Well, we have seen things, and I just want to get into this for a sec, but I wanted to get into the thing for coding to kill and coding to heal. But let's talk about this first. So we didn't want to kill the cells. No, killing the cells would be a bad thing to do, because then they just disappear. And disappearing is not someone anyone wants to do. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to get those cells to turn from bad guys into good guys by using the good cells to kind of like turn them into better cells by doing things that will help you. You just need to use your guided imagery and you can turn all the bad guys inside of you into good guys.
I think you use the words healing light, turning them into healing light sometimes.
Yeah, healing light. Right? You want to turn them into healing light.
Yeah, you know, from your 12-year-old perspective, you actually had something interesting to say about some of the coding that you learn when you're in school, which is about killing. And let's talk about that real quickly.
Indeed. Yes. In our school system, in whatever you want to call it, the Apple Common Core, but yeah. So the thing about it is that usually the coding system is like rigged, people. Rigged, I say. It is made up of killing, violence, and
First person shooter.
FPS. And FPS does not stand for frames per second in my point of view.
So FPS is first person shooter. So in other words, real quickly, it's about when you're playing these games, it's about you or somebody killing something or somebody else, right?
Basically, most of the games that are being coded today are used for coding to kill. And we want to kind of like be like, whoa. Stop. Switch it up. Okay, so we just want to kind of switch up the kind of killing, and we want to make like a little hole. So, you know, it's going down the bloodstream. You make a little break in the hole, and it goes off. And here we go. We want to do that. We want to make a huge different area, but we want to create schools having coding to heal.
Yeah.
And, yeah, the coding to heal is going to be a great thing to do, because coding to heal will not just help kids, but it will stop the number of school shootings happening in schools today,
or potentially all kinds of shootings. So supercellular.org, like Jill was saying, supercellular.org is where you could learn about what these two are doing, and you could also use some of the videos already to support kids if there's anything going on in their lives. And you can see Gabriel on camera, And also, if you want to support them, go to supercellular.org and support them or be part of what they're doing. This sounds very exciting. When we come back, we just have a couple more minutes, but Gabriel's going to do something cool for us. He's obviously very talented. We know he acts, and he's a bit of a comedian for sure.
Definitely.
And his mom's a comedian, so of course, and comes from a very talented family. His dad's a musician. So we get to hear just 30 seconds of him rapping about Supercellular when we come back here on the Life Changes Show. And in that segment, we're also going to have our Ask Dorothy segment with our executive producer, Dorothy Donahue. And then later on, live music here in the studio with our musical guest, Skip Heller. All after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and a little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com. You are listening to The Life Changes Show, recorded live from Studio NoHo. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Barbara Morrison, and Kyle Cease at our archive on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark, and of course our guests, Gabriel Gogobachi, and Jill Gatsby. And as great as this show is, the commercial breaks, what's been happening in the studio is even funnier and crazy, the way these two have interacted with us and with each other. It's been very special, actually. Would love to see more of the two of you. But before we go, we did promise everybody a little bit of a wrap. And then, Mom, Jill, you said something about you've got books available all at supercellular.org, and there's one in particular about healing your heart. What's that called?
It's called Healing My Heart, and I would highly recommend it if you have any kind of loss in your family. We kind of wrote this for the kids who have been experiencing this massive loss in the school system.
So not just healing from disease, but also from
loss of a loved one.
Okay.
And it teaches them, it teaches kids that they've got these billions of these superheroes inside them. And if you lose somebody and you feel so sad and you keep feeling so sad, I want you to know the reason why you're feeling sad is because your superheroes inside you, they miss that person too. And it's okay to tell them you love them. Mm. And it's okay to hold yourself and hold all your cells because they need to be held by you. They need your comfort. And by comforting them, you'll comfort yourself and you both get through it.
Mm, wow. You also say something really great about when people see your t-shirts. Well, you have t-shirts, you have pillows, you have toys, you have all kinds of stuff, right? All at supercellular.org. But when people see these and they ask, what is that, Supercellular? What do you say sometimes, Jill?
I look at them and I say, hey, you've got billions of these heroes right inside of you. Don't you know that? They're your cells and they love you from the inside out, and they die for you every day. And I said, and if you think Jesus Christ was great, check out these guys. I mean, it's like every 10 minutes a cell is gone, and then pop, he's back again, and they do nothing but live to make us happy. I've got billions of these. Ever since I realized I got billions of superheroes inside me, I am so happy. That's all I can tell you. It's really hard to be depressed when you realize you got billions of people working for you every day to make your life better.
Wow.
I'm never alone.
Wow. Wow, there's a message
well
right
said.
There. Thank you for that. And you, before we do a wrap, was there anything real quick you wanted to add to any of that?
No, I'm good.
You're good. You're so good. You are so good. All right. So let's. What's this rap going to be about?
Well, it's going to be about the superheroes.
Okay.
Inside of you.
And what's you you want to be rapping, or do you rap on your videos as well?
I've done some raps. I mean, I think I'm going to start getting into it a lot more for the rest of this year, because I know I've done a couple of raps, and I admit they're pretty fun to do, but I definitely need some practice with all the other stuff, but I'm going to get right into this.
And let me ask you one quick thing before we get into that. Your friend that you met when you were 2.5, do you still know him?
No, it's really sad. I mean, after I met him, we kept in touch. We got each other's phone numbers, and he moved to Georgia. And then I still, even if where he was in Georgia, we went to go see him. We went to a giant museum with a bunch of animals. We got to see whale sharks and stuff. It was so fun. But then we slowly lost touch and started moving farther and farther
okay.
away. Sad,
well,
right?
Do we want to dedicate this rap to him? What was his name? Or what is his name?
His name is Brandon, and he was a very nice person. And I think he's still out here. I don't think he died, but he did move away from Georgia.
And maybe he moved to West Seattle.
We haven't been able to find him for like 3 years now.
If
we lost touch with
him. Listening to the show or his parents.
Sasha, if you're listening, we're looking for you and Brandon.
Okay, so with that, here's Gabriel Gokobachi and his supercellular rap.
Yeah. Woo. Yeah. Let's go. All right. Yeah. 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 Your superhero, I'm looking pretty cool, cause I go with the flow. I mean right and left, looking pretty cool. Look at that awesome dude, looking pretty cool. I mean look at him, his name, it's Oxygen, yo. Man, just take a look at me, yo. I don't care. Oh, well, that's over.
Okay. Well,
I mean, it wasn't what I expected.
We'll have to tune into your videos for the rest of that.
You might have to tune into my videos, but quick to be over. Pretty cool, but I enjoyed doing that, and I do need some work on it. But I think I got that one good.
Yeah, and so you're getting people's attention to look at Oxygen and to look at all these things that are actually helping us and to put our attention on it in a positive way. And so I thank you for what you've already been able to inspire in me. I've been talking about can't wait to meet you and hear this do this show, and I'm sure a lot of people have been inspired by what you've had to say, and especially with you being so young, you'll have many more years of inspiring to come. And so thank you, Gabriel Gokobachi, and Jill Gatsby, thank you for what you're doing to support this, and also with the music program and the education program that all goes along with it. Go to supercellular.org to learn more. And on our website, Life Changes Network or LifeChangesShow.com, either one, you can learn more about Jill and her work outside of this, including the Stanford Meisner Center for the Arts and what she does about with the Bad Mother videos and all kinds of stuff
no,
that
I'm
she does
mother.
And
oh, no,
her,
no, no.
her bottle yeah. art and all that stuff. Go learn and enjoy that. So yeah. Thank you to you both. And so now, as we move on, we've got a our Ask Dorothy segment. But before we do that, Mark, we have a shout out.
It's one more time. It's Gokobachi.
Gokobachi.
All right. We do have a shout out. We want to give our very own Dorothy Donahue and Energetic Alchemy a shout out. Energetic Alchemy is the course for all healing masters, practitioners, and novices who would like to go to the next level. It matters not if you have been practicing healing for years or just been thinking about starting a healing practice. This course is truly a life mastery course, and you will be given all the tools necessary to transform your lives into ones filled with love and magic. Check out loveandmiracles.org. Dear Dorothy, my name is Rick, and I am from Anaheim. I am on complete overwhelm and just don't know if I can survive all of the challenges I am faced with. Unfortunately, this is a cycle I am very familiar with, and each time this kind of thing occurs, it is harder on me than previously. Please help me to find a way to deal with this kind of thing in a more enlightened way.
Rick, thanks for this question. Almost everyone I see and work with are on overwhelm at this moment in time. However, you say this happens to you over and over, so what you may wish to do is examine your role in creating these situations. Each of us is the co-creator of our lives, and as I have stated many times, it is our thoughts, our words, our beliefs, and our actions that create our tomorrows. Lots of times I discover that my clients are recreating patterns and situations in their lives that have not worked for them in the past, and yet here they are again. Personally, I was a master at co-creating trauma and drama in my life until I made a vow to myself to examine in great detail my every thought, word, and action. Once I discovered through this process that I was living in fear, worry, and doubt, I chose to be the master of my destiny and stepped into faith, trust, and knowing that all is truly well in my world. I used to go to psychics, tarot card readers, and others who I thought might be able to tune in better than I could. What I discovered is that if I ask myself the right questions and determine how I feel with the answers I get, this is the most helpful thing I can do for myself. Many of my questions led to deeper questions and better answers. I believe intuitives often react to what we are feeling, and so they may be feeling our fears. I believe each of us has direct access to the highest truths possible. And since you state that you're on overwhelm, I encourage you to get grounded and breathe. Ask your higher self to guide you through these feelings of overwhelm. A good way to do this is to spend some quality time in nature and hug a tree or two or three. You may also want to reflect on the fact that you are still here and have survived all of the previous life challenges you co-created in the past. I believe when you ask your higher self the right questions and pay attention to the answers, you will not only survive your present situation, you will find ways to thrive.
Thank you. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com.
Indeed. Thank you, Dorothy. And with that, we will be right back here on the Life Changes Show with our musical guest, Skip Heller.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, LifeChangesNetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@lifechangesnetwork.com.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and our guest, Gabriel Gocovacci and Jill Gatsby. And joining us in the studio is a singer, songwriter, guitarist, but not just any singer, songwriter, guitarist. It never is. But whether it's jazz, country, rhythm and blues, Chicano soul, exotica, or any style you can name pretty much, Skip Heller has been there and done that his way. Welcome to the show, Skip Heller.
Thank you so much. Always nice to follow Streisand. That was really wonderful, Gabriel.
Wasn't he great? And actually, we should start off by saying thank you to one of our mutual friends who introduced us, Olivia Brownlee.
Olivia Brownlee, who is immediately relocated to Spokane after using my name, apparently.
In Washington, actually. Yeah. Yeah. So maybe that's what Gabriel is picking up on. Okay, so we got to talk before the show, and some of the fun things that I heard, like, from my childhood, you said something about Smothers Brothers. What about them?
That was sort of the first music I saw. There's a lot of music on TV back then, and people weren't lip-syncing yet. There was no Ashley Simpson situation. You know, when you saw the Smothers Brothers singing and playing on television, that was the Smothers Brothers singing and playing. Glenn Campbell, same thing. Johnny Cash, the same thing.
Now, the Smothers Brothers had a show. Were they actually brothers?
They were actually brothers. Tom and Dick Smothers, they were brothers. They lived in Pasadena.
And one of them played the bass.
One played the bass, and he was the straight man. And then the other one, who was acting stupid and, like, was goofy, was the guitar player.
And he was the comedic.
Right. And both just brilliant guys. A friend of mine was working as their publicist for a while. He called me up and he said, "Do you want to come to the Comedy Store and, like, you know, I'll get you really good seats," which turned out to be with the cast of A Mighty Wind. That was kind of nice. And then I'll take you backstage and you can meet Tom and Dick. And it was, you know, usually when you meet somebody famous, it's like, oh, wow, there's that famous person. And I just was, like, looking at him like, it's Uncle Tom and Uncle Dick.
From because when you were a kid.
Yeah. In my family, the Smothers Brothers and Pete Seeger were, like, the patron saints of the household.
Nice. Well, actually, I wish Mark's son was here also, because I think it would have been great to meet Gabriel, for them to meet. But he and I, every once in a while, will watch The Schoolhouse Rock. And every once in a while, we'll just say to each other, "I'm just a Bill." And you have a story about that.
I got to do that live. It was really crazy. The creator of the Schoolhouse Rock series is a fellow named Bob Dureau. Bob is 93 and he's still with us, and he still sings everything in the key he was singing it in 1957. He's just a real powerhouse guy. But the guy who sang on Bill and Conjunction Junction is a fellow named Jack Sheldon, who, in addition to being a brilliant jazz singer, is one of the most brilliant trumpet players I ever heard. But a few years ago, he had some mini strokes, and he can still play the trumpet somewhat, but apparently singing is not, he can't really control stuff like that, pitch. And so I already had a ticket for the event, and Duro called me up and he said, were you thinking of maybe coming to the thing that we're going to, he's the guy on Three is a Magic Number, said that. Three is a magic number.
That guy called you. Voice. Okay, yeah. The number three called you.
Right, but I've known him since 1987, so I'm always like, I'll be speaking to him on the phone, and it's regular, and then all of a sudden I'll go, oh my God, it's 3 times 3.
We sing that one too. Yeah. Actually.
So he called me. He said, "Well, why don't you come to the hotel? We'll have coffee. I have something I want to talk to you about." And I knew it was going to have something to do with the fact that Jack Sheldon couldn't sing anymore. There was some sort of cartoon festival that the Cine family was putting on, and they had one off-site thing, which was they were going to project the Schoolhouse Rock videos while Bob Dureau, with a group, played live. And I thought he was going to ask me, like, do you know somebody who can fill in for Jack Sheldon? Because Jack Sheldon is, like, you know, he's got tracks like Shaquille O'Neal. You don't just step into that. He's such a giant. And it didn't dawn on me that he was going to say, you can read music. You know, here's the music.
Well, did you have to put on a voice, or I mean,
No, the way we did it, because I said, look, it's like any other thing you see. If you go see a band that you really like and they have a different lead singer, the hit sounds wrong. This is why when we go see Van Halen, we don't want Gary Cherone. We don't want that other guy. We want Roth.
Right. So what'd you do?
So I said, like, look, instead of this being like me doing the cover version, why don't we just sort of bat it back and forth? Because everybody's going to sing along with it anyway.
No.
Which is what happened. Yeah. It was like really a great way to do it, because it was like 400 parents just enamored and speaking along with it. I thought of what Leonard Bernstein said about his first time conducting La Traviata in Milan. He said, every cab driver in town knew the score at least as well as I did. But the other thing is, all of their kids were on cell phones, and you could tell they were going, I don't care about this. My parents dragged me here. While all the parents are going, Conjunction, Junction, watch.
I love it. But I would have been one of those.
Oh, no. I was ready to sit in the audience.
That's right. You bought a ticket.
I had bought a ticket, and that was the thing that, like, and the night before, I was eating pizza with a friend of mine and her mom, and she's like, oh, well, you should come out with us tomorrow night, because I can't. Believe it or not, I'm performing as part of Schoolhouse Rock. And she called BS, and I was like, yeah, whatever, and just wait 2 days, and there's, like, all the videos on Facebook, and thank you very much. Next time you pay for dinner.
So you have such great stories, and unfortunately we can't – I'm going to tease the audience, but there are some Sesame Street stories, and there's some Flintstones TV stories.
There's not really Sesame Street stories, because when I got called to do music for Sesame Street, it was through an animator named Eddie Mort, who's a really gifted guy. And I just worked with Eddie because they're not really doing the animation stuff in-house at Sesame Street anymore. Pretty much the same as Schoolhouse Rock. They had their own little realm. They weren't part of the network. They were part of Tom Yowie's production team. And it's the same thing now. When I worked with Cartoon Network, I was actually working, with a producer on Dexter's Laboratory and the voice talent, which is Martin Mull and Fred Willard. And, there was a little more community about that rather than just one brilliant guy, which is what Eddie is, going, okay, the voice is going to be this. Here's some sketches of what the little kitty cats are going to look like. Can you put some accordion on the track? Because it's going to be a cumbia where kids learn to count to four in Spanish and in English, and then backwards in English, and then in Spanish. Okay.
We get the pleasure of hearing you perform. Actually, you've been performing with several different bands as well throughout your whole life, ever since you were a kid. And you saw this Smothers Brothers on TV. You're going to sing a song which is a kind of a touching song. I guess it'll tell the story, but this is kind of...
This is a song that's kind of about the Heller family approach to all things liturgical. Which is like, yeah, whatever happens, happens. I'll just try to behave myself. But
yeah, I like how you put it. You said, let's not be good people just so that we can get to heaven. Let's be good people.
The heavenly insurance policy.
But, I like that.
But I got the idea after my father had, I was speaking to my father. My father is never a very religious guy, but he got very active along with my mother in their church. And, extremely so. And, he's an older guy now, and he's still involved in a lot of projects that help homeless people, that help vets all through the church. All the stuff that all this Bible stuff is supposed to be about. And as you should. And but a couple of years ago, I was speaking to my father on the phone, and he had just seen he had just watched somebody on Fox News. And I asked him about it. And I signed this thing that said I won't use any vulgarities while I'm on the air here. But suffice it to say, my father described the things that this person was saying using the language one associates with the sex acts depicted in Leviticus 5-17, if it were spoken by the late great Tupac Shakur.
Okay.
Somebody has read Leviticus over there.
So, that being said, here we have.
So this is So this is kind of the Heller guide to liturgical behavior.
All right. Well, here is Skip Heller performing "If I Make It to Heaven" live on the Life Changes show here at Studio NoHo.
If I make it to heaven, I will make it as the man that I am. If I make it to heaven, I will make it as the man that I am. And if God's what you say, I'm sure that he will understand. You may brag about your men of Gideon. You may sing about your men of Saul. To be pleased about a man who's screaming from the pulpit like it places him above the law. He'll tell you how you should vote, who to love and how to be. If there's a hell below and somebody's got to go, I bet it's fire's waiting for him, not me. And if I make it to heaven, I will make it as the man that I am. If I make it to heaven, I will make it as the man that I am. And if God's what you say, I'm sure that he will understand. Take it, Skip. Well, I try to be a solid citizen, to live right and do well. It ain't about the promise of heaven, and I don't believe the threat of hell. Look, I know I'm no bargain, and I'll admit mistakes were made. But for the good that I mean and the love in my heart, I will leave the planet unafraid. And if I make it to heaven, I will make it as the man that I am. If I make it to heaven, I will make it as the man that I am. And if God's what you say, I'm sure that he will understand. And if God's what you say, I'm sure that he will understand.
Great message. Skip Heller performing "If I Make It to Heaven." Actually, is that song available? That is, right?
That is. Actually, go to HollywoodBluesDestroyers.com, and you can find that on the record called "That Was Then." And that's an anthology of a bunch of work from about 10 years before. Actually, it concludes with... I have a band now called Carnival of Soul that I co-lead with a really wonderful singer named Birdie Jones. And it concludes with a cut with her on it that's got strings and like a lot of really very sophisticated stuff that I learned from watching Burt Bacharach.
Nice. Well, another name from the past. So that's the website where that's going on. And actually, your new stuff is all at carnivalofsoulmusic.com,
correct,
right?
Yeah.
And that's with your band Carnival of Soul. Then you perform all around town. You perform all around.
Yeah, I just got back from Northern California. In fact, Birdie and I went up to... play some gigs with a friend of mine named Spike Sykes, and I just made a disc with Spike
called Sacramento.
Sacramento, and that's available at spikeandfriends.com because that was really Spike's due. Apparently, I was on his bucket list
to work with you and sing with you. So, spikeandfriends.com, and that's where the Sacramento disc is. And now, this next piece, what's that one?
Actually, let me do a song from that called "Ain't Nothing to See Here." It's, I kind of let Spike pick the material because I didn't know what he had in mind, and he went over a lot of stuff, and I trusted him because A, he's wonderful, and the other thing is, it was kind of his idea, so I wanted to do most of the records I make, I produce, so I already know what I'm thinking. And it's whether it's jazz, whether I make a chamber music record, which the next record coming out will probably be a bunch of chamber music. Wow. I did. Yeah, Wagner, Mahler, Puccini, Mozart, Beethoven, and I snuck one little part of the Goldberg Variations in too for you Bach guys.
That was obvious.
Yeah. You know.
What's Spike's last name?
Sykes, S-I-K-E-S.
Okay, well.
And he's located up in Petaluma.
Very cool. Well, this is from the album Sacramento?
Yeah, and I'm going to... Spike is one of the best bands you could ever have, just him by himself. So I'm operating at a disadvantage here.
Without Spike. But so here is "Ain't Nothing to See Here," yeah, live on the Life Changes show. Skip Heller here at Studio NoHo.
All righty. Thank you.
make your way past the shadow of a woman who's gone. Tiny one-room apartment with a courtyard below and some jacaranda trees waving slowly in the breeze. Well, it ain't much, but it's home. Ain't nothing to see here. No chalk outline, no tape. You can peek down the hallway where she made her escape. I took down all her pictures. I just stare at the wall. I don't need no souvenirs of the nights I held her here. Well, there ain't nothing at all. Except the bed that we made. Now, people said the worst things from the first moment they ever saw us together, and well, they were right, I'm afraid. But I'll be better without her, and she's well off without me. Never did that woman wrong, but at any rate, she's gone, and there ain't nothing to see. So stop your staring at me. I have no real ending, so.
Yay! Skip Heller. Skip Heller. He has no real ending, so.
I stole the ending from Southern Nights by Glenn Campbell, which he stole from Jerry Reed.
Well, if you want to hear the ending, if you want to hear the ending that he did do in Sacramento, you have to get Sacramento.
I think
and
he
you
did.
Can
a...
find that at spikeandfriends.com. Skip, thank you so much. You are performing around town. People can go to carnivalofsoulmusic.com.
Right, or you can just go to the Carnival of Soul Facebook fan page, and that has all the attributes of social media.
Nice. Well, I look forward to catching you somewhere and your band. It's actually a big band, right?
It's seven pieces. It's two horns. I play guitar and sing. Bertie Jones, as I said, who is amazing, is the other singer. And then we got upright bass, piano, and drums.
Nice.
Fun.
And you. Well, so much fun indeed. Skip Heller, thank you so much for bringing your music to our show. And then once again, a big thank you to Gabriel Gokobachi and Jill Gatsby. And with that, a big thank you to Brent Hahn here at Studio NoHo for making this all sound so great.
Thank you, Brent.
And on behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, our producer, Mark Leger, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.